For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin. I'm Falcoholic Kevin, here to bring you our round one recap of the 2024 NFL draft. As I'm sure you've already heard, the Falcons made the shocking move to draft a quarterback at 8, taking Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr., and surprising everyone, including our crew on the draft party live show. I know Adnan in particular was very shocked. I think we all were, because the move on its face doesn't appear to make a lot of sense for the Falcons timeline for a lot of the reasons that you've heard me talk about on this very program, about the team seemingly entering a win now window with Kirk Cousins under contract at an affordable rate for 2 years. It's certainly an odd selection. It's certainly one that the team has kind of had to defend itself on. They've become more or less the talk of the NFL draft, and not for the right reasons. So we're going to get into this pick, going to get into, of course, opinions on it, my take on it, and trying to deliver my interpretation of why they may have gone this route. Try to explain it as best I can, even if I may not agree with it, which I don't. But we'll have to see. We are going to dive into it, and we're going to do that just a second here on the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast as I'm coming to you at 1 a.m. I was watching the press conference afterwards to see what they had to say about this pick, and that was pretty interesting as well. So we're going to dive into that in just a second. Real quick, want to bring you guys a word from our sponsor, betonline.ag, folks. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. You can get all the latest stats, news, and scores as you follow your favorite teams to the playoffs and championships this season. And if you had put money on that, those draft props for Kirk Cousins at 8, you would have made bank. I think, I don't even know if that was on the board. That's how shocked many people were by this pick. And you know, that's the NFL draft for you. It's always crazy, but you know, you at BetOnline, guys, you can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website, betonline.ag, today, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So the pick of Michael Penix at 8, there was buzz about this, right? And I talked about a lot of my final draft predictions episode, which definitely don't go back and watch, you know, how seemingly sure I was that the Penix at 8 talk was about a team moving up to 8 for Penix, and not about the Falcons taking him. I did believe that the Falcons were legitimately interested in Michael Penix. That to me, the fact that the team was interested was not surprising. I think this is a staff that believes they can develop a quarterback, unlike the previous staff. And I think that overall, this group was wanting clearly to get a quarterback to develop behind Kirk Cousins, because we know more than likely Kirk Cousins' timeline here in Atlanta is 2 years, maybe a third year if he plays super well, but more than likely Cousins is here for 2 years. So they were going to need a succession plan at some point. I just think everyone was shocked that they were taking the succession plan at 8th overall, and you know, not in it not being the first best quarterback, the second best quarterback, or the third best quarterback. The Falcons selected the fourth quarterback in the top 10, which I believe hasn't happened in several years either. And obviously we know the track record of fourth overall quarterback, you know, fourth quarterbacks is very poor. Not that that has any actual bearing on whether Michael Penix Jr. is anything, but there's a ton of reasons why this pick is bizarre. And why it doesn't make a ton of sense. And we're going to get into that. You know, and honestly, before the Falcons were even on the clock in this draft, it was pretty chalk. Not a lot of surprises. The main surprise being that the Titans took J.C. Latham at 7, and that the fourth quarterback did not go. J.J. McCarthy did not go in the top four. There was no one trying to trade up for J.J. McCarthy at all. The Vikings ended up getting him at 10 after a trade-up of just one spot. Wasn't really any trade action in the top 10 at all. That was a little bit different than expected. Otherwise, it was pretty chalk with the quarterbacks. You know, there was reports that New England was not going to trade down, so therefore, you know, they were going to take Drake May at 3, and they did. So ultimately, pretty chalk in front of the Falcons. And then Atlanta comes in, and it was very funny on the live show. I actually saw the peak leaked by mistake. I was trying to see if the Falcons had traded the pick, and it got leaked super early, like 5 minutes before the pick was announced. I was like, oh, crap. Well, now I know. So I had to wear a poker face on the live show for about 5 minutes, letting Adnan and the others on there keep a happy face on until this happened. And, you know, obviously the reaction, very strong. Very strongly negative. And we're going to go over some of the reasons why that is, right? So why is everyone so against Michael Penix at 8? I don't think everyone's against Michael Penix in a vacuum. I think Michael Penix is interesting. I think he actually has top 10 quarterback upside, unlike a lot of the quarterbacks in this class. But there's a few reasons why this pick really is questionable on a lot of levels, and it's a very, very big gamble by this coaching staff. So the first reason, right? Kirk Cousins is under contract for 4 years ostensibly, but realistically 2 years, right? And there's no way for the Falcons to get out of Kirk Cousins' deal prior to 2026. There's just not any feasible way to do that. So unless Kirk Cousins is hurt, in which case that, you know, makes the Kirk Cousins signing pretty questionable. We're not even going to see Michael Penix start football games until 2026. And when you take a player in the top 10 that you're basically guaranteeing you're not going to see for 2 years, it's so questionable. And questionable is the most generous interpretation of that. This team was gearing up to finally start winning for the first time. Last year we thought they were doing that, and they failed miserably because they started a quarterback that could not handle it, and they signed a backup quarterback that couldn't handle it either. Now, of course, they go out and fix that problem with Kirk Cousins, and then they, instead of building the team around Kirk Cousins, which still desperately needs edge help, which still needs a cornerback opposite AJ Terrell, which still needs a second safety, which still needs more at wide receiver, they take a quarterback that's going to sit for at least 2 years, that's going to provide very little. I don't even know if Michael Penix Jr. will dress, unless he's the third emergency quarterback for games. So right off the bat, when you have a top 10 pick that is not going to play, that's already questionable. When you have a top 10 pick that's not going to play for two seasons, it's a big mistake. It really sets you back, and it doesn't help your team now, unless Kirk Cousins gets hurt, and then maybe you look like a genius. But like, what does it do if Kirk Cousins pans out and plays great? Michael Penix does nothing for you for the next 2 years, and you know, I guess you're sitting there and you're developing him in the wings, waiting for his opportunity to get on the field. But you know, he's not going to play for 2 years, assuming things go well. So obviously that is an issue with a top 10 pick that you're not going to even see. And then you get into, you know, the questions about Penix himself. I like Penix. He's one of the quarterbacks I was most interested in for the Falcons. I just didn't really think there was much of a chance of him coming to Atlanta, because again, I couldn't imagine they would consider taking a quarterback that was going to sit for multiple years in the top 10. You know, a lot of people will bring up Jordan Love in this situation, right? Jordan Love was taken in the 20s and was 2 years younger than Michael Penix. And that's the other part of the problem. Michael Penix is an old rookie. He'll be 24 this year. So at this point, he's not even going to have a chance to see the field until he's 26 years old. And like, does that really matter? Maybe not. But it makes the pick even more risky, because you're already now putting he's already on an accelerated timeline, and you're also gonna make him wait before you even get to see him. Then you have his medical history. Penix is one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in the draft in terms of his medicals. Clearly the Falcons were not put off. He has played two healthy seasons at Washington, so there is that. But, you know, three season-ending injuries, two ACL reconstructions. You know, it's a sketchy history to buy into begin with, and he's also an older prospect. Does that really matter? Maybe not. You know, in today's NFL, quarterbacks are playing into their, you know, late 30s with regularity. So maybe you say, well, it doesn't really matter now if he's a little bit older because of that. So, you know, maybe I'm willing to overlook that. But that plus the medicals, all that stuff, that's a little bit sketchy. Third, what you've done now from a PR perspective is just an absolute nightmare. You can't sell the pick because you're going to piss off your starter. You've taken a backup quarterback at 8, so you can't sell him as this instant impact player. You can't sell him as your starter or talk him up too much because you're going to piss off your starting quarterback and Kirk Cousins, who you just paid, you know, gave it a gigantic deal to and made the face of your franchise. So this is an odd place for the team to put their staff in. Not that they should make picks based on PR, but, you know, it is what it is. It's going to be very difficult, and it's going to create a lot of really tough responses and negative responses to what they've done, and they've asked for that, I guess. And the other thing on this is Kirk Cousins is very unhappy, and they apparently did not make it clear that they were going to be drafting his immediate successor, like within a month after he signed. He was completely shocked and taken aback by this pick. The team had never made this, you know, known to him that this was a possibility. They had talked about drafting a quarterback, and he was like, yeah, they're going to draft a QB3 to develop. That's fine. Whatever. And then they come out and immediately draft his successor at 8, which is problematic for so many reasons. Kirk himself was completely shocked and disappointed. There's been, you know, basically, I don't know if these aren't direct quotes from Cousins, but more or less saying, you know, this was a big shock to me. And I don't understand how this helps the team. Like, now, like, how does this help our team? Like, how does this help me win? It doesn't. It just puts a clock on my time in Atlanta. It puts a target on my back, because the second Kirk Cousins does anything wrong, fans are gonna be clamoring for Michael Penix. They've put themselves in a really bad spot with this, where Kirk Cousins could easily be pissed off and take this in a very negative way. He already apparently has, you know, we'll see how that plays out, obviously, but they've opened a huge can of worms with this. They've created a quarterback controversy where they didn't need to make one at all. They've put a target on Cousins' back because he's expensive and he's an older veteran. And as soon as he starts making mistakes of any kind, fans are going to be clamoring for his replacement to come in. And they've just backed themselves into a really bad corner with this decision. I'm pretty shocked that they were willing to do it. This is a gigantic gamble by this front office. They know it's going to be hated. They're not stupid, right? I mean, I don't think that these guys are stupid in the slightest. They knew fans would hate this pick. They knew the media would hate this pick, and they did it anyway because they believe Michael Penix Jr. is a franchise quarterback. That's the only way they make this pick, because fans will hate it, media will hate it, Kirk Cousins will hate it. I can't imagine the locker room is going to be happy about it either. They just got done, like, you know, getting excited about Kirk Cousins, and the Falcons already drafted his replacement. This is not going to play well. I can't imagine it will on any front. So now they desperately need this pick to pan out. They need Michael Penix to be a franchise quarterback, or this is a catastrophe. And I think the scenario where, like, he sits for 2 years and comes in and lights the world on fire, you know, and at least with Penix compared to some of these other guys, right? At least with Penix, I think there is a pathway to him being a franchise quarterback and being a pretty good one. Let's talk about some positives, right? Before you guys think I'm just going to trash the pick. I'm going to 99% of the time trash the pick, because that's just personally how I feel about it. But Michael Penix Jr. is a legit quarterback prospect who has very high upside. There's no doubt about that. I think he throws the best football of anyone in this class, including Caleb Williams. I think he has tremendous zip on the football. I think he has very good touch as well. I think he's got to he's got a lot of things he has to work on, but I think in terms of his passing ability, I don't have any questions, and I don't think he has limitations with what he can do. What can he do right now? That's the bigger question. And like, honestly, I know like guys like Derek Klassen and some of the other guys I've talked to on here, Michael Penix needs a ton of work to be an NFL quarterback. He doesn't throw the middle of the field, and there's a very bad track record for college quarterbacks that didn't throw the middle of the field in college, learning to do it in the NFL. It's very rare that they can make that transition. It happens. It does, but it's not common. So he's already going to have to overcome that. He also doesn't handle pressure well at all. He when he gets pressured, he breaks down and he takes sacks, throws the foot. You know, he doesn't handle pressure well at this stage. And that's a big problem because he's going to get pressured in the NFL, especially, you know, and we'll see how we don't even know what the Falcons offensive line is going to look like when he plays. So it's hard to even talk about that. But, you know, this is the NFL. You're going to get pressured. So he's going to have to learn how to manage pressure and learn how to throw the middle of the field. And if he can do that, he could probably be a pretty good quarterback. Honestly, I think otherwise the measurables check out. I think he's got a cannon arm. You know, I think he can throw a touch. I think he can throw the anticipation. I think he can do a lot of stuff that's really good as a passer, but he's not a dual threat. He doesn't handle pressure well. He doesn't navigate pressure well and evade a lot of sacks, and he doesn't throw the middle of the field. And the number of cases where that kind of prospect actually turns into what people hope he will be are very low. So, to me, this pick is like the Falcons threading.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The needle, like trying to thread this crazy needle, like where they're like, we're going to have Kirk Cousins for 2 years and we're going to start winning football games and fans are going to forget about this. And then when Kirk is ready to hang him up, you know, and we're ready to move on after 2 years, when that contract gets too expensive, then we're going to have Michael Penix ready to be inserted and we're not going to have to worry about quarterback because, you know, we've got this figured out. And like, to me, this seems like a gross overreaction to their failure to address quarterback over the past several years, especially starting in 2021. But you can't overreact. You have to stick to your board. And like, I'm sorry, I just don't believe Kirk Cousins was the best player available at 8. I don't believe it. I could be very wrong about this, you know, and I hope certainly that Cousins does play well, or excuse me, Penix plays well. I hope that he does become this franchise quarterback, but you are gambling so much on this working out. Like, this is the type of pick that will get you fired without question. And this is nothing but speculation, but there are plenty of clips out there of Fontenot trying to explain the pick to Arthur Blank after it was made. Arthur Blank did not look happy. And it's like, I don't blame him. It's like, how does this help us win right now? Like, how does this help us win? We just went out and gave this giant contract to Kirk Cousins, who's probably pissed off now. And doesn't trust you anymore. How can Kirk Cousins trust the team anymore? They lied to his, according to some reports, the Falcons plan to draft Michael Penix from wire to wire, was the quote. So how could Kirk Cousins trust a team that just lied to his face to get him to sign, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, how is that going to work? Like, it's a business, yeah, but like, did you have to do that? Did you have to be that facetious, like, with him? Like, I think that's a huge mistake to invite that controversy into your locker room. And then you do it for a guy that's an older prospect that's got a lot of questions. They're just trying to thread this needle that I hate. Like, I think there are so many ways this goes wrong and only a couple ways that it goes right. And if it goes right, they'll look like geniuses. But it's the ultimate gamble. And, you know, when you're going for franchise quarterbacks, you're always gambling, right? Every time you take a quarterback, especially in the top 10, you're rolling the dice. But it's odd that you do it in a situation where you had instant impact contributors on the board. You know, whether you agree that the edge rushers were the best way to go or the cornerbacks or whatever, Roma Dunze was there, and he would have been an instant impact contributor to help Kirk Cousins and this offense just go to crazy heights, I think. And that, I don't think you can make any argument that Roma Dunze doesn't help this team a lot more than Michael Penix does over the next 2 years. And I think that the way that Roma Dunze pans out and becomes a good pick is infinitely higher. Like the chance of that happening is infinitely higher than Michael Penix panning out and becoming a good pick, because you're drafting him in to a good situation, quote unquote, where he doesn't have to play immediately. And he'll have time. You're drafting him into a terrible situation where he has no realistic chance of getting on the field unless there's an injury in front of him. And fans are pissed off at the pick, so he's already being set up like that. And his quarterback in front of him had no idea he was coming, feels blindsided by his selection, and is probably going to be unhappy with him as well. Not that I think Kirk is necessarily going to take it out on Penix. It's not Penix's fault. But it's just like, I don't know why you invite all these problems into your franchise. You could have gone out there tonight and picked a player that would have helped your team win right now and over the future. Instead, you went out there and picked a player that will not help your team win until 2 years from now. And, you know, maybe Kirk Cousins gets hurt again and then Penix has to play and he can be the savior or whatever. And if that happens, you know, great. They'll look like geniuses, I'm sure. But, like, it's like this pick was designed to, like, cover their asses in case Kirk gets hurt. And it's like, what if Kirk doesn't get hurt? Like, then this does absolutely nothing for you. This does nothing to help you. This does nothing to move the needle of your team for 2 whole years. And just the gall of the quote, you know, that was like, well, you know, if Michael Penix doesn't see the field for 4 or 5 years, then that's a good problem to have. You know, like that means that our quarterback situation is great. If Michael Penix doesn't see the field for 4 or 5 years, he's a huge bust. There's no doubt about it. Like, and I know people are like, oh, well, that means Kirk Cousins probably winning us Super Bowls. Okay, sure. You know how much Kirk Cousins' cap hit is in 2026? $57.5 million. You know how much Kirk Cousins' cap hit is in 2027? $57.5 million. So if you don't cut Cousins that year and you need him to keep playing, like, sure, you extend him, and then you're just spreading that money out even further. Like, his cap hits become astronomical in 2026 and 2027. So, you know, that I don't buy that line of reasoning, or like, oh, well, if Cousins is still here, then, like, you know, that's a good problem to have. No, it's not. It's a bad problem to have. That means you made a mistake drafting Michael Penix, because he can't beat out Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins actually wasn't that close to retiring or, you know, being benched or needing to be cut. So you miscalculated that, and you didn't do anything to help Kirk Cousins when you had the chance. And maybe that would have been the difference to this team making the playoffs, winning in the playoffs, winning a Super Bowl, that you could have had Roma Dunze in this building or whoever you like, whether it's the edge rushers, whatever. It doesn't really matter, because it's all hypothetical at this point. We're not getting any of those players, right? You didn't do that. You took the future-focused pick when you had spent the last few months kind of convincing everyone that we were going to try to win now. And now it's like, I know some people are like, oh, well, this is, they're going to have their cake and eat it too. You know, they've got the win now quarterback and they've got the future secured. It's perfect. What about if it's neither? What about if they didn't do enough to win now and Michael Penix doesn't work out and it's neither? That's the disaster that I think the people that are glass half full about this, and, like, God bless you if you are glass half full about this. Thank you, you know, for injecting some kind of optimism into this. You're not, you know, go for it. Right. But I don't, like, what if they're just neither, right? What if they're not good enough to win now and Michael Penix doesn't work out? Then it's catastrophic and it's leading to everyone getting fired. And there's a couple things people raise, like, oh, maybe Kirk's not as healthy as they thought, in which case they made a giant mistake giving him that contract, didn't they? And that's really bad too. It's not Penix's fault, but it's the regime's fault for giving him that contract. If they really liked Michael Penix that much from wire to wire, I don't understand why they didn't sign a bridge quarterback instead gave Kirk Cousins this monster deal to be their starter for at least 2 years, when they loved Michael Penix so much and had to have a lot of faith that he was going to be there at 8, because I mean, what were they expecting? Like six quarterbacks to go in the top 10? We did see six go in the top 12, but I mean, it's all like, I don't like believe this. Like, I don't believe this timeline that they loved Michael Penix from the beginning and they were planning to take him this whole time. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. It doesn't make sense to me. You don't give Kirk Cousins that contract if that's your belief. Maybe, like, and maybe this is all just like 3D chess or 4D chess or whatever the heck it is, where they're like, oh, well, we're going to have our quarterback for 2 years and we're going to win some games. And then when he's ready to hang him up, we're going to transition to Penix. And that, and it all works out great. And everybody rides off into the sunset. This stuff rarely works out the way we want, right? Like, there's a 50% chance everyone in the first round is just a bust. Like, full stop. Like, you know, in a vacuum, 50% of these first rounders will just be busts. So there's a 50% chance right there that Michael Penix is just a bust. We won't even get to see him for 2 years. So good luck, you know, with that. But if it sounds like I'm negative about the pick, I am. It doesn't help the team now. Maybe it does in 2 years, and maybe they'll look like geniuses. And if he turns into a franchise quarterback, there's no way this is a bad pick, right? Like, then all is forgiven. Even if they wasted 2 years with Kirk Cousins where they just couldn't get over the hump and it was kind of depressing and disappointing, you know, if Michael Penix becomes their franchise quarterback and he's great and all this stuff, then it'll all be forgiven, right? We'll forget about this and we'll be like, actually, that was really forward thinking. That was great. And there is a narrow pathway to that happening, but that pathway is so narrow. I can't believe Raheem Morris on his second stint as a head coach was willing to stake his career on a 2-year developmental project quarterback. It just blows my mind. Like, that is some incredibly bold stuff. And Terry Fontenot, like, I don't think he thinks he's in trouble, but like, this really accelerates his timeline too. Like, if they don't win over the next 2 years, Fontenot's not even going to see Penix play. He could be fired before Penix even steps on the field. Like, it's so bizarre to me how this all played out. This is one of the most shocking draft scenarios I can remember for the Falcons in my 8 years of doing live shows and instant reactions and doing this podcast. I mean, this was, I knew they liked Penix. I thought the interest was legitimate. Like, I mean, but 8 overall, which just paid Kirk Cousins the top contract, just spent the last month, you know, hyping him up as the future and the face of the franchise, and you go out and get his replacement immediately. I guarantee you they didn't ask anyone in PR about this move or anyone else. Apparently they kept this incredibly close to the vest. No one knew about it. And you know, I think they got some leakers probably over the past few days. I know one person in particular who was saying that, you know, Arthur Blank stepped in and that's what blew this up. No, Arthur Blank didn't step in. I don't believe Arthur Blank was behind this move at all. You don't send the entire coaching staff out to look at Michael Penix, like, if they're not interested. They're clearly interested. I don't think there was any doubt that they were interested. I just didn't think it was going to be at 8. But no, I mean, I think honestly they were trying to explain themselves to Arthur Blank, like, yeah, we needed to take him here because people were going to trade up and take him and all that. And maybe that was true. There was immediate buzz, like there seems to always be, that, hey, you know, I think it was the Seahawks, the Saints, and the Raiders were trying to get into the top 10 to take Michael Penix, allegedly, according to Jeremy Palmer, I believe it was. And like, maybe that's true. And it wouldn't shock me if teams really like Michael Penix. He's got that cannon arm. NFL teams love that. They're all about that. So it could very well be the case, right? But man, this doesn't seem to fit their timeline. This doesn't seem to fit anything that would help them. And when the Falcons do move on from Cousins in 2026, because they kind of have to now to justify this pick, they'll either eat $25 million in dead cap. They will save a lot of money still. They'll save like $35 million in 2026. So they'll either eat $25 million all at once, or they'll eat it in two chunks if they make a post-June 1st cut. Eat 12.5 and 12.5. So, you know, that's the price they pay, I guess, to have Cousins for 2 years while they develop Michael Penix. And, you know, he needs at least one, I think, before he can play. So it's just like, man, I don't remember the last time an NFL team took a quarterback or took a player at 8 that was, but may not even dress on game days. Like I think there's a pretty good chance that Michael Penix is the third emergency quarterback only, and isn't even activated, except for like third quarterback activation. And that's just such a sad way to use your top 10 pick. And again, if he turns into a franchise quarterback, then everyone will, you know, forget. Everyone will, you know, move on. And you know, everyone will talk about how genius it was to let him sit. Because if he turns into a franchise quarterback, that's the single most valuable thing in sports. And however you do that, however you acquire that franchise quarterback, doesn't really matter. If you get one, you get one, and you're in. Now you've gone into that class of teams that have, and you're no longer in the have-nots. It's just a weird move to make when you theoretically have that quarterback, at least for a couple of years here. And, you know, they're lying about, like, well, you know, we're going to be too good to get a quarterback going forward. It's, man, it's bizarre. Very unexpected. I mean, they're definitely doing what they think is right. I have no doubt about that. I don't think, you know, it sucks. As a fan, I think, you know, it's very disappointing. And it's nothing against Michael Penix himself. Like, nothing against the young man. This is not about Michael Penix, really. This is about the timing of the pick, the selection itself. Not about Michael Penix, because I actually like Penix. I think he's very interesting. Like, I think he has real talent. It's just, it's a bizarre situation for him to be entered into. He's got to feel weird about it too, considering he's just like has no real upside to see the field in the next 2 years unless there's an injury. I don't know. I'm repeating the same points. You guys know how I feel about it after 30 minutes. Like, I'm not a big fan of it. You know, so that's sort of my takeaway. I think we could look back. This is either going to be a stroke of genius that cements this team, you know, with a quarterback for the foreseeable future, in which case it was absolutely worth the risk, right? Or it's a catastrophe. He never pans out, and the Falcons are left thinking about, like, what... Like, Roma Dunze becomes an all-pro, you know, wide receiver, and they're like, well, we could have had Kirk Cousins with Roma Dunze. Maybe that would have brought us a Super Bowl. And that's... Honestly, that scenario is vastly more likely than the one where Michael Penix turns into a franchise quarterback. And I hate saying that. And it's, again, I don't want this to come across as I hate Michael Penix or I have a problem with the young man. It's not about Michael Penix. I do think Michael Penix.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's innocent, right? The player, the prospect is not to blame. It is the team for doing this to him that I have problems with. They're not, I think, setting him up for a lot of PR success early on. They're putting him in a very awkward position and really like limiting his opportunities because he's going to get an opportunity after Kirk Cousins leaves, and that's it. Like, I mean, and again, that's what happens in the NFL. You don't get a lot of opportunities to start a quarterback in the NFL, no matter where you're picked. But man, I don't like it. I think we're gonna look back on this as, I think there's a 70% chance at least that we look back on this as sort of the beginning of the end for Terry Fontenot, which I hate because I love Fontenot. I think he's a really cool guy. I have typically liked his drafts for the most part. I've not really had a problem with his strategy before now. This is the one where I really start to question what the real vision is here. Like, what are we doing here? They're trying to have it all. And I don't think you can have it all in the NFL. You do have to make sacrifices. You have to make decisions, tough decisions. And this is a tough decision. No doubt about it. They knew that this would be very unpopular, and they did it anyway. So they have to really have conviction about it to do that. So I hope to God they're right, because it's going to be very depressing if they're wrong. But that would be par for the course for this team, right? So we got some fun stuff tomorrow. I know we've got 3 picks on day 2. The Falcons have pick 43 in the second round. They've got pick 74 in the third round and pick 79 in the third round. They could do a lot of damage with those picks. If they can nail those picks, people will probably feel a lot better about where this team is. But man, it's puts a real damper on things. That's for sure. So you guys know I have a problem with the pick. I think they're just really, really asking for trouble with this one. I wonder a lot about their headspace for picking this. I think it's just an overreaction to their mistakes at quarterback previously, but we'll have to see how it pans out. I sincerely hope that it does pan out. I sincerely hope that I watch this show, you know, 3 years from now and say, like, wow, how dumb was I to question this decision? Like, getting a quarterback is the right move no matter what. And that is the one scenario where you can say, like, well, maybe that's the case. Like, if they can get a quarterback in here, that's the one that's the most important. And they did the necessary thing. Because, and I said this in the live show, I have often maligned teams for not taking a quarterback when they had a chance because they were okay at quarterback or they could wait to get a quarterback. And it's like, I've said, you can't wait. Like, you have to get a quarterback as soon as, when you can get a quarterback, you get a quarterback. You don't wait, you don't kick the can, any of that stuff. And I guess I gotta take my own advice, right? They went and got the quarterback. They got two of them. They got too many. But I sincerely hope it works out. Michael Penix, welcome to Atlanta. Nothing personal. No problem whatsoever with Michael Penix himself, the young man. I do wish nothing but the best for him, no doubt. Nothing but the best for this team. I'm not going anywhere. You know, I know some people are really pissed off at the pick. They're like, I'm out of here. Like, that's your business. If you want to do that, totally up to you. But, you know, it's very controversial. It's very difficult. And I hope that they're right about this, because this is a massive gamble that I can't believe they're willing to take, especially Raheem Morris, because I his future NFL head coaching career rides on this job. If he flames out here in Atlanta, he's not getting another opportunity. It's hard enough, you know, as it is. So for Raheem, for Terry, for Michael Penix himself, I hope that they're right about this, because it's a giant gamble. I hope it works out. It's tough, but yeah, I mean, in terms of the rest of the first round, guys, it wasn't too crazy, right? We did see some trades late, you know, just in terms of what we're watching tomorrow. You know, we saw the Lions move up for Terrion Arnold. We saw a lot of kind of unexpected by receivers go early. Like Ricky Pearsall went ahead of Ladd McConkey. I think that was shocking to a lot of people. He went to the 49ers at 31, which pretty much lends credence to the rumors that he's, you know, like the 49ers are going to be trading Ayuk or Debo. It seems like it's going to be Debo. The Panthers traded up to 32 to take Xavier Leggett. It's interesting. I feel like they've got Jonathan Mingo at home, but you know, whatever. And the Chiefs traded up to get Xavier Worthy. So that's terrifying. You know, in terms of day two, you know, if I'm the Falcons, I'm trying to get Jerzon Newton any means necessary. If I can get up, you know, at this point, it's going to take about like a fourth to move up to get Jerzon Newton. I would do that in a heartbeat. I think he is an absolutely dynamite interior guy. I would do whatever I can to get up and get Jerzon Newton. You know, wide receivers in consideration, corner, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry's still there. He could be an interesting guy. Obviously, TJ Tampa and Ennis Rakestraw Jr. is still there. Tyler Newbin at safety, we talked about on the live mock. So there's a lot of good players. I think the Falcons will have some good players to choose from at 43, but they had some good players to choose from at 8 too. And, you know, they went a little bit off the rails. So we'll see if they go back to chalk going forward and see how that goes. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in with me to, you know, finishing this up, you know, after 1 AM. So running on steam here, but it was, despite the shock, was a fun night. Really appreciate everyone who tuned into the live show. A lot of fun there. We will be back on Friday night starting at 7 p.m. for day two of the draft party. Make sure to check that out. We'll be giving away another $50 NFL shop card. Congrats to our winner on day one. Please do like, subscribe this video. If you enjoyed it, please do leave that 5-star review in your podcast platform of choice. If you're listening on that podcast platform, check out the channel memberships on YouTube. Check out the Patreon if you're more of a podcast enjoyer. We will see you guys tomorrow at 7 p.m. for day two of the NFL draft, and hope that the Falcons can right the ship here. Give us a little bit more hope for this year. That would be nice. Some positivity injection would be welcome. And despite my negativity about the pick, I still think that this team has a great chance to win the NFC South this year. And I hope but they got to nail this day two now, because they're not getting that contributor on day one. So they got to nail day two. The pressure is on to nail this day where Fontenot has traditionally struggled quite a bit. So we're going to need a reversal. We're going to need things to come together here for this team. But I certainly hope that they're able to do it. Thanks, guys, so much for tuning in tonight. We will see you next time on the Dirty Birds of Bruce podcast. I'm Kevin at Falcoholic Kevin. Check out thefalcoholic.com for that written content. We'll see you tomorrow night. Well, Friday night, you know, you're probably watching this on Friday because unless you're up at like 2 a.m. when this publishes. But thanks, guys, again for hanging out. We will see you Friday night, 7 p.m. for day two of the NFL draft. Have a great day, folks.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.